Today is November 27th, 2022. Current Bitcoin price is $16,570.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving, Rick?
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I hope everybody in this time of fun and chaotic times at least got to spend some time with family and ate some food. It's funny because Thanksgiving traditionally has been like during the bull markets, right, for Bitcoin. Thanksgiving, you see that big uptick take place a lot of times. Because people will go back to their family and they'll talk about how much money they made in the crypto market and how great everything is. And this year we did not see that happen, which I guess is not necessarily a bad thing. normally, it's go ahead.
A year from its high. It's been a year ago that we hit the high.
Let me go back on the chart and take a look here. Like the high? I don't think so. I think it's been longer than that because we're actually... They're saying we've been in a bear market now for over a year. So we actually hit the 69,000 price point. Nice. Back on November 8th of 2021. So yes, it was just over a year, it looks like. Some people considered like that wasn't really a high, but I'm like, whatever, that was the high. That was... 69,000 looks like $3.61. Nice. On November 8th, 2021, 1 year later from that time frame, I mean, we were not looking so pretty. Where were we at? November 8th. We were still at $20,711. And then that's when we actually had the big drop that day. Or at the beginning of the big drop. I think we went all the way down. What did we go down to that day? Sorry, moving in on the chart here. Yeah, we went down to 17,000 that day from 20,000. So that was the announcement. I think that was the whole week going into the SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried collapse.
FTX.
The FTX yeah. collapse was starting at that time. There were the rumors about it going into that weekend. And then everything went kind of full force at that, on that, that, is that a Monday? What was that? That was a Tuesday, it looks like.
I think it was a Tuesday.
That thing is still, you know what's sad though, is that we've seen, like, yes, I know the FTX collapse was awful, right? I mean, that's not good for anybody. If you had money on FTX, I feel so sorry for you. But something that the crypto family has preached, and maybe it's more Bitcoin and Ethereum type groups, but if you don't house the coins yourself, it's not your coins.
Yeah. We've said it many times.
It's this terrifying thing, but whenever you put, you're basically, as soon as you give your coins to an exchange, they are theirs. They're not yours. Yes, they're in your account, whatever, but they have control.
Yep. Until it ends up back in your wallet.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, and if, right now, I mean, there's, you know, exchanges are necessary evil. Like if you have to have some money or some coin on an exchange, that's fine. You put it on there, you load it, preload it, do whatever you're going to do, and then get it back off. You don't leave it there. There's absolutely no reason to leave it there. And the weird thing about that too, like when you think about that, you've got the DeFi projects that so much about this last bull market before we went into this bear market. So much about the last bull market was all about DeFi, right? Decentralized exchanges where nobody had control over your crypto. It was all kind of built on this thing where it was kind of an anonymous agent that was kind of overseeing all this stuff. where it was basically governed by a program with algorithms, all this stuff. All these things that have they continually said that they've had DeFi projects out there, they've continued to prove that they were not actually DeFi.
No.
And every time, like, you end up getting burnt.
That is true.
It's just, it's so, I don't know. I my heart goes out to those people. Because can you imagine, I mean, having all that money. And then the other thing that's crazy, I've got to pull up the numbers. I would have to find it. But they were talking about, they did wrapped Bitcoin in the FTX coin, basically, right? So basically what they do, like, these wrapped Bitcoin are now Bitcoin that are completely useless. Because they wrapped them into the ecosystem. So there are more Bitcoin that are now lost.
Shoot.
And you can't redeem them for anything because they're not worth anything. They wrapped them up inside of their own coin that's not... Anyways. Yeah, my heart does go out to anybody that had money on that exchange and happened to lose it. And, you know, the other sad thing, too, I think we had done a podcast right as that news was coming out. Actually, we did a podcast right when CZ from Binance had announced that he was not going to bail him out, right?
Yep.
Because going into the news that day, they were like, oh, yeah, CZ from Binance is going to buy out FTX, and then everything will be hunky-dory. At that time, I believe they had said that the United States arm of FTX was fine. It was still good. However, it was the global one that was bad. Whatever. Now, like, it's all bad, right? Like, I mean, none of it was surviving anything. They keep on calling it a contagion. And what I was kind of trying to go back to in the beginning before I kind of got off track is that this is not the largest crypto collapse that we've seen. Or at least not that big of a deal, but because the news always hypes this kind of stuff up, it's making it seem far worse than what it may actually be. But it's causing people that were afraid of the crypto market already, or people that didn't maybe understand or maybe didn't want to touch the crypto markets, to just be like, see, I told you so. This wasn't good.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I know that the corporate media, their take on Bitcoin is not a friendly one. And their attitude towards it's not friendly. So if they can hype up fear of Bitcoin or crypto in general, they're going to do that. You know, while they also still hold luncheons and, you know, these ticket parties for, you know, the New York Times was putting on a luncheon with SBF and several other people, and it still went through here this week.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if that was anybody else. And I think you said this kind of before we started, like, why aren't you in jail?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Like, you know, and I think of, what was his name? Ross Ulbricht or whatever, the creator of the Silk Road?
Yeah.
You know, one of the early days of Bitcoin?
Yeah. He's never going to be seen again.
No. And all he did was found a website that allowed people to do those activities. He wasn't selling the stuff himself, right?
No, he just created the framework for, you know, the original cryptos to exchange hands.
Yeah, that was it. And he's in prison for that. And this guy is walking around on the beaches. But, you know, and before the podcast started, we were kind of talking about that, like, kind of the fishy stuff that was kind of going on with that. Because this guy, and again, I hate to get overly political on some things, because to me, Democrats, Republicans are both kind of snakes, right? But this guy, SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, he was really close connections with Gary Gensler. And then he was a huge supporter of the Democratic Party, correct?
Yep. Number two donor during the 2018 campaign season, only behind George Soros.
And then, I don't know. I feel like this was orchestrated to get people to want regulations in place from the government. Like, oh, see how horrible this whole space is? We need the government to step in. I mean, we knew regulations were coming. They're going to have to come in order to get, like, the full adoption. But I fear that this is going to make the regulations stiffer and more tough than what they actually need to be? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and that's, again, my take on that is kind of like the corporate media. I mean, think the biggest enemy of crypto would be, you know, the federal government. Because we'd be stealing. I mean, if they're not able to print their own money and it goes to, you know, Bitcoin or something else, they've lost a ton of power.
Yes.
In that. So, you know, and that's kind of another thing I mentioned too was it looked like they were involved in some type of money laundering thing happening in Ukraine while while Russia's been invading. So there's all sorts of weird stuff with this SBF character. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and then, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the stories about, like, apparently there was one gal that worked as CEO of, was it Alameda or FTX, one of the two, and apparently she was the concubine for all of them or whatever, and on methamphetamines all the time, and...
Yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff. I just looked at her and goes, ooh, I wouldn't even keep her all to myself, let alone share with anyone else.
That poor thing. Like, I mean, she is tied up. Like, I can't imagine what her family's thinking right now. Although, I guess they bought a bunch of properties in the Bahamas, and I guess he's got family all over there. I'm sure they had a nice Thanksgiving over there. It's probably great for them. They're like, yeah, hey, we still have lots of money.
Yeah, but their celebration included a different type of stuffed turkey.
Mm-hmm. Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
Yeah, so hopefully, I mean, so realistically speaking, we know, like, this FTX thing, like, I mean, that took a lot of wind out of the sails. Like, right before all this stuff started to break, we were at $21,000, right? Like, we were starting to make some headway back upwards. Not that I think we were going to go back into bull market territory, all this stuff, because the macroeconomic conditions are still so volatile around the world, right? However, how far back do you think this has pushed us? Like, how far do you think this has set back the crypto market before we start to, like, say everything else... All other things were considered fine, right? And the market was kind of operating the way that it should be. How far behind, lagging, are we going to be from what we would have been able to do if this not had shown up? Does that make sense? Am I making sense of what I'm asking?
I think I know what you're asking. You're just saying, you know, if Bitcoin was going to be at $50,000, say, a year from now, originally, if the track was on... the same track, you know, now how long is it going to take for it to get back to 50?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know. And the thing is I think all the markets are tied together. And I don't see any markets breaking out and doing well long term or in the short term, maybe even long term. I don't know. Things are not looking good as far as I can tell.
No, I completely agree with you. I think I would feel better if we could get back up to that $20,000 range again, you know, right in that kind of sweet spot of crypto. Not necessarily that that's where I want it to be the top, but I would like to regain these losses that we've incurred from this whole FTX thing, the shambles, right? Bitcoin has nothing to do with that. I just want you to know, like, if you are new to the crypto space, Bitcoin is not this guy. It has nothing to do with that. Completely autonomous from this whole thing. It's completely autonomous anyways. But I feel like 6 months, I think, is what this is going to put us back. 6 months at least before we get back to, you know, kind of being like, okay, Bitcoin's okay. It's safe. We can start moving forward again. And maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's kind of what I'm feeling. I mean, and maybe it's going to be longer than that. I have no earthly idea. But this did hurt the market big time, hurt the confidence of the market. And when you're working in what is considered a speculative market, which it shouldn't be anyways, that takes a while to build that confidence back.
For sure.
Yeah. I've got some Bitcoin.com news stuff up. Nothing too interesting. BitBoy, I don't know if any of you have ever listened to his podcast. I've listened to him a few times. I don't know. I kind of like the guy. I kind of don't. Apparently, he's flying to the Bahamas to go question SBF on the whole FTX fiasco. We'll see what comes of that. Robert Kiyosaki says, I'm still bullish on Bitcoin. Crypto cannot be blamed for the FTX collapse. That's very true. You know, he's actually been an interesting supporter that's come out of the woodworks. I didn't think he would, but...
Yep. Well, he's the one thing about George is he is totally down on the dollar. And first he was more into the gold and silver as God's money, but he's like, you know, this digital money might be where it's really at too. So he's gone all in on all of the above.
Yeah. 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 I think he's been a big promoter. I've listened to him a few times and he's always talking about gold, silver, and Bitcoin. Like, and he was wanting Bitcoin to drop down in price to actually back the truck up and buy more. So I wonder if he's still waiting or if he's actually decided to go ahead and buy. Then there's a post on here saying after more than 380 days, crypto supporters celebrate surviving the second longest Bitcoin bear market. I don't know how you're saying like the second longest, like we're still in it. Like it's not gone yet. So
yeah,
I mean, I guess it may be the longest here pretty soon.
Yeah. Now, what is the longest bear market?
I would have to say, honestly, I don't know. I don't know if it would be the 2017 one or not.
That's what I was assuming was the end of 2017, but...
Because that was a long time.
Yeah.
And it depends on when you consider when the bear market ends. Does it end when we cross past the all-time high from previously, and then it begins the new bull market?
Yeah. Well, that would have been almost 3 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, it would have been over 3 years because it's like started crashing. Was it December of 2017 or November?
It was December. It was right after they announced the futures markets.
So then that was 3 years because it took it to December 2020 to cross 20 again.
Yeah, it looks like it happened right around. It looks like we probably crossed that threshold again December 2020, like what you were saying, which would have been right there. Boom. That would have been our last all-time high, if I'm looking at that correctly. Yeah, because that's Monday, December 11th, 2017 is when the market peaked from the last bull market. And then it crashed, and then it didn't hit those all-time highs again until December, basically, of 2020. So basically 3 years. So now hit our all-time high in 2021, and now we're just down, down, down. So, not down, 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 but we're down.
We're down. Yeah, definitely down.
We also, I think last time we had talked, and I know we're a little bit behind, but I've been going through a transition, but I'm not here to talk about my transition, okay? So I've been a little bit sidetracked, I guess is the best way to put it, but hopefully we'll have some more time here coming up. I'm probably going to have a lot more time here coming up. It looks like the Fed's going to raise interest rates again, coming off the heels of the CPI numbers that came out in November. And I think, what did we say? 7.7 is what they came out at?
Yeah.
That sounds about right. And we both, like, we messaged each other and we're like, BS. That doesn't seem right. Like, I mean, I'm still not seeing it at the gas pumps. Maybe because of the housing market in a lot of ways.
But I thought housing wasn't really included in that.
It shouldn't be, right? Because it's not... I think rent is, but mortgages aren't. Is that right?
Okay, that might make sense. I don't know. I didn't think that the housing market had a big had any impact on it, though.
Because I don't think... I mean, unless... Because they don't look at lending, right? Within the CPI numbers?
Display my ignorance here and have to defer. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think I don't think it does include lending because it's the consumer price index. So it's just a basket of goods, right? Weighted against previous pricing.
That's what I understood.
So it can't be maybe rent in some areas. Like it may be pulling something from that. But anyways, we saw the Fed had raised interest rates by 0.75 basis point. And then 7.7 came out on the CPI numbers, which was good, but Bitcoin was going through its own thing. Otherwise, it probably would have reacted more strongly to that. And that's where I was saying, like, if all things being equal, had the FTX thing not happened, that's where I think we'd probably be sitting at around 24,000 right now, is my guess. But, I mean, that's conjecture. Like, I can't say one way or the other. But anyways, December, it looks like they're going to be raising interest rates again. The Fed's going to do that. They're saying it's going to be by 50 basis points. So we're looking at half a percentage point, which I want to say this is the lowest rate hike we've seen so far.
Yes, at least since they've gone on their tear, doing 3/4 basis points several months in a row now, right?
Yeah, ever since they became super hawkish. They've been doing them like 3/4 basis points every single time. So this will be the first reduction, and we'll see, I mean, what that does for, you know, and I'll be kind of curious too with CPI numbers coming out in December, especially with holiday season, Black Friday, all that stuff, as people are purchasing a bunch of different things, you know, consumer spending. I have no idea. I ordered garland online because when I was setting up Christmas lights, three strings were burnt out that I had, so I ordered garland online for Walmart pickup. And when I went to Walmart, it was actually on Black Friday. It was like, there's no way I'm going to the store that day. I have PTSD from working Black Fridays. So,
same here.
I was like, I just went to the drive drop-off thing or whatever where they bring the stuff out to you. And the parking lot was empty. I mean, it wasn't empty, but it wasn't nearly what I was expecting. So I don't know if people maybe just were buying online. I have no idea, but it didn't seem as busy as what I thought it was going to be for Black Friday. So,
well, just a side note on that. It's been a little while since I've seen some crazy footage from Black Friday sales. You know, remember back in the day, there used to be crazy, you know, security cam footage of people fighting over crap and,
oh yeah, deaths and like murdered over like
getting, yeah,
TVs and
getting shanked for that, or just getting crushed by the rush of people coming through like bulls on a parade. I don't know.
You know what? I will say this, and I was talking about this with my wife the other day, and she kind of brought it up, and she made a good point. You know, ever since the pandemic, like, retailers and stores and stuff like that, they're actually closed on Thanksgiving again. I think Walmart was completely shut down on Thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
They didn't do any of this, like, Black Friday starts early on Thanksgiving, so come, eat your turkey, and then come eat up these deals. You know, there was none of that.
Yeah.
It was just, hey, enjoy your time with your family. Like, even my job, like, we actually, like, we always worked the day after Thanksgiving, which was stupid because nobody comes to our place, like, the day after Thanksgiving. But this year, we had Black Friday off, which was kind of nice.
Nice.
So maybe we're seeing a little bit of a shift in that. Maybe people remember what's important again. I doubt that, but we'll see.
Well, here's the other option is there's just not enough money to go around because, you know, in this quote unquote weird time, that's technically not a recession in air quotes. Things are not doing so hot.
It's not a recession, Rick. The government, they changed the definition. It's cool. You can have 2/4 of negative GDP.
It's just a weird time. That's all it is. What is a recession?
What's the big deal? What's a recession? God, they kill me.
Well, this recession identifies as bear. So,
yeah, this recession does not identify as a recession. Speaking of, so yeah, we're going to have to reconvene as soon as the CPI numbers come out again and we get this half a rate hike, because I'm kind of curious what this will do to the stock market going into the end of the year. I think the only stock that was up, I think this last week, was actually Disney for whatever reason, and I don't know why.
Because they fired their boss.
They did what?
They fired the CEO.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they got rid of Chapek and then they brought in back in Bob Iger.
That was such a weird time too, where you had all those CEOs stepping down.
Yeah, in 2020. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. He was kind of a pandemic CEO. He tried to bend his knee to the woke crowd, but apparently it wasn't enough. Actually, a lot of people were saying that he was working behind the scenes to start getting rid of a lot of the wokeness.
Yeah,
and Kathleen Kennedy being at the top of his list, and somehow they outmaneuvered him and got him fired and brought back in Iger. So my hope for Disney is done. Yeah. I don't care about Star Wars. The MCU can go do whatever. Yeah, no. I'm done.
So the other thing that we were talking about, since we were talking about the recession that does not identify as a recession, looking at housing markets, right? Like, that's always a big indicator, and that's going to be a big, big trend. Like, that'll be the canary in the coal mine on a lot of things of what's going to happen with the economy, right? We don't want to see what happened in 2008. However, that's still a possibility. I think you've been pretty much like, that is going to happen again. And I do tend to agree with you, because we never fixed anything from 2008. We've kind of just kicked the can down the road. So I've got some numbers here from CoreLogic. This is their housing price index. This is numbers from November of 2022. So basically what they've got is what they're forecasting and what is currently happening within the housing market, right? So they had forecasted in the month of, you always got to realize whenever we're talking about these numbers, they're always delayed, right? They're always behind. So they had forecasted that there would be a 0% change in housing prices from September to October. And then they found in November, actually there was a drop of 0.5% overall. I mean, that's across the board. Year over year, they had forecasted a 3.9% increase in housing prices. So far this year, there's actually been 11.4% year over year change, which is, I'm guessing, if we looked at some of these numbers previously, like, that's starting to taper down. Like, we're starting to see the rollover, right? You're not seeing that, and it's still high, but maybe we're starting to see some of that downtrend. Housing price index, it's got a line graph going on here where we saw 2008, we went super negative, right? Going into 2010, roughly into 2011, where it started to roll back over after all the zero interest rates, and we saw it dip back down again, and then it took off like gangbusters. We're now starting to see, we came off the peak, basically it looks like from January of 2022, and we're starting to see that whole thing start to roll over. They're forecasting into January of 2023, where we're starting to see that drop back down again, right around the 2008 type market. I think what they're going to try and prevent is to not have that deep of a trough that happens there from that whole thing. But they want to see this go basically negative. So, I mean, they're basically saying that we're going to see consecutive drops take place between November and December of the housing market. And then when we look at this here, it looks like we've got, and I could be reading this wrong, but it looks like housing market in Miami is down 25.6%. That's been the leader, kind of rollover on the prices. San Diego looks like it's down 10.9%. LA is down 7.5%. Las Vegas is down 13.6%. Phoenix is down 13.8%. Denver is down 9.5%. Houston's down 13.1%. I mean, so we're seeing like a huge reduction start to take place across the board in these big metro areas. Which makes sense. Like, I think we talked about this the other day. You know, whenever you're buying a house, if your interest rate is super high, that really, really cuts into your budget of what you can afford home-wise, right?
Yep.
And we're continuing to see that. And I don't know. Like, in some ways, like, if it wasn't such a big interest rate hike, I could see where a lot of people are like, well, we'll get that house and then we can refinance later. But the interest rates are getting so high that it's impacting the amount of money you can actually borrow against your home or to get your home.
Yep.
So where you may have been able to afford, $400,000 home before, maybe now it's cut down to like $350,000 or something like that. I don't know. I don't have that much money whenever I buy a home. So, yeah. So, I don't know. We're continuing to see that, and they're basically predicting that trend is going to continue to roll over going into 2023 and actually start to go negative kind of at the end of January of 2023. Like severely negative, where we're going to start to see some of those drops back down into the 2008 type market. So, yep. It's scary times. The other thing that we're starting to see a lot of, I mean, you're hearing it across the board, is layoffs, big unemployment layoffs are starting to happen, right?
Yeah. Well, Facebook did one, or, well, Amazon's starting to do one. That's not a good sign when Amazon's starting to cut jobs.
Especially right before their busiest time of year, I would assume. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think most consumers are buying on Amazon anymore, especially after the pandemic.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, no, Amazon, that reduction was huge. And I can't remember what the numbers were, but it was a large amount of the workforce, right?
Yes. So, I mean, for this recession that identifies as a bear market, you know, it's pretty ugly.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Elon, horrible Elon, he just fired a bunch of people at Twitter. Although his tweet, like, he's like, I don't know.
Of the staff.
He's like, I got rid of all these people and Twitter's still doing exactly what it needed to do. He's like, so I don't know what they were doing before, but, you know, so be it.
Well, did you find that the pictures of the closet? So the picture, the shirts that said "Stay Woke" or something like that.
No, is that what it was? That in Twitter's closet or something like that?
Yeah, he posted pictures of it. He's like, huh, that's interesting.
I can only imagine he's like hanging out in the like Twitter headquarters, like just roaming around the halls, just finding different stuff, random things.
Yeah.
There's no staff working anymore. What I heard something about how he called a meeting on the 10th floor, and then, and I don't know how true this is or not, but then he locked up all the doors and he said, if you're not there, I'm going to fire you. So they couldn't even get up there anyway. So yeah, he just sounds like he's a barrel of monkeys to work for. I probably wouldn't want to work for the guy, but.
You know what? I don't think you want to work for any of those crazy geniuses.
No.
Steve Jobs from Apple, like, he was a legendary ass. So, I mean, he was brilliant, but he was brutal. So, no, I wouldn't recommend that.
No, probably not a good idea. So, yeah. Yep, that's basically nothing is sunshine and rainbows right now. But we'll keep at it, and I hope you guys can keep on buying. Is there anything else you want to bring up today?
Oh, I think that's it. We'll just kind of keep posted on the CPI numbers.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious. I don't think we're going to see anything crazy with because the weekly close is going to happen today here in a few hours. I don't think we're going to see a crazy pump or anything like that. If we get back up into the $17,000, $18,000 range, that's great, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think most people are just letting the market kind of cool down, taking their time. I've got some money sitting on the sidelines that I'm waiting to buy, and I don't know if I want to buy now, or maybe do a half buy now and then a half buy later, just because I don't know where we're going yet, but I want to get some more. So, that's my plan.
That's my thought. Is better to have one bird in the hand than two in the bush.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure, for sure. Yeah, I like them saying, man, I came up with some crazy stuff. Crazy recessions, not identifying as recessions. What's this world come to? Thank you guys for listening. We will record more regularly. I said earlier I didn't want to talk about my transition, but my transition is happening, so I'm going to be a lot more available, I think, so.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. It'll be just all kinds of fun. So thank you guys for listening. We will talk to you later.
Peace out.